Unlike the rest of all creation, God has made man to be different. God has made man free, with a free will, so that we can respond to God. And from the very beginning, God's call to obey his law coincided with the experience of love. That God had created Adam and Eve in love, and they desired to be obedient to him because they had felt that love. But since the fall, when the drama of human freedom unfolds, we see that the human will is set up in opposition to the divine will, and law becomes a yoke within the human heart. However, we want to remember that God's law, his divine law, has not been permanently effaced from the human heart, as we could see from the universal experience of natural law. But it is only that concupiscence and ignorance has made it more difficult to follow. We still know of, in the deepness of our heart, God's law, but we struggle to do what is right. There are many times when we can think I know what I should do, but it is more difficult to be obedient. And so we see that this passage from Sacred Scripture, for our first reading from Deuteronomy, is a pledge of hope for the restoration of that law and order in the human heart, which in the fullness of time would not be a law of nature, but a law of grace. The law of grace presupposes the law of nature. That is, Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. We do not cease to be human when we become saints, but rather we become more fully alive. We become more authentically ourselves as we become obedient to the law of God. Now we do know, though, that there is that natural law that still sits in our hearts that we were created for. That natural law, when it passes through our reason, is the natural moral law. And it's the observance of natural moral law that is the foundation of social and political society. It's these laws of nature and of reason, when observed, that maintain balance within society. Moreover, we know that their observance fosters within the individual that human maturity and that moral development which is necessary for progress in the spiritual life. If you want to be a good Christian, if you want to be a saint, you need to be a good person. It's very common sense when we think about it, but it is also very deeply rooted in our theology. And so this passage from Deuteronomy, which was our first reading, was intended to remind the Hebrews that God is forever interested in their fidelity. For the observance of the Decalogue, these Ten Commandments that God is speaking about, in fact, the observance of God's divine law coincides with natural moral law, a law to which God is always calling us to faithful adherence. Those Ten Commandments, so many of them are things which any good human person, not just the Jewish people, not just the Christian people, are called to observe. To not kill, to not steal, to not lie, to not be envious. It is written into the very fabric of our human nature. And it is being obedient to them, and it is in being obedient to God who has written this into our nature that allows us to be set free. Certainly this is what St. Paul is speaking of in his second reading as he says that Christ Jesus is the witness. He is the central figure who fulfills perfectly both the laws of nature and the laws of grace. He is the perfect human. He has the perfect human nature and he lives it perfectly in his divine life. And this makes sense because he is the author of both the laws of nature and the laws of grace. Jesus Christ, therefore, serves as the blueprint for what we are expected to become. When God the Father made us, he thought of his Son Jesus. And we pray that by his transforming grace, he, the Father, can see and love in us what he sees and loves in his Son. Jesus' observance of obediential love towards the will of God the Father shows us what our love, lost and in conflict with God's will since the fall, ought to look like. as the image of the invisible God, he makes visible to all of us the obediential love that is his very essence. He makes visible to us that obediential love most perfectly on the cross, that now gains for all of us a participation in the law of grace. It is through our exercise of faith, hope, and love that we strengthen that new law of grace within our hearts. It is in the gospel that Jesus confirms the scholar in his understanding of God's law, that his understanding of God's law is that it is a law of love. He says, "What is your understanding of the law?" And the scholar replies, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This scholar of the law was able to encapsulate all of the book of Leviticus in this simple word, love. He knew the divine law of God, because he saw that it's observance of all of God's laws, all of his divine laws, that leads to our friendship with God. It's the law of love that receives, though, under Jesus' teaching, a new qualification. The example of the Good Samaritan shows that charity's practice is not bound by historical or cultural barriers. Our practice of charity must be universal in order to have that resemblance to Jesus Christ, who is truly the Good Samaritan, the one whose own gift of redemption was meant for both Jew and Samaritan, for both Jew and Gentile, for people of all nations and people of all times. If we want to love with Christ's love, which is universal, then our love must be universal. And so, if we were to ask ourselves that same question which the scholar asked Christ, who is our neighbor? We would see that Jesus teaches us that a neighbor is any needy person, regardless of his race or her race, his gender, or her, regardless of his or her race or gender or nationality or tribe or religion, regardless of anything, our neighbor is any human person in need. That is the example that the Good Samaritan ought to show us, is that in the parable, the Samaritan took care of the needy Jew, who otherwise would have been his enemy. This is the teaching of Jesus Christ when he says, "Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." This is the teaching of Jesus Christ in action as he hangs upon the cross and he says, "Father, forgive these people who are persecuting me, who are killing me, for they know not what they do." Jesus' law teaches us that the charity which is commanded of us must not be specifically only for those who are kind and nice and generous to us, but it must be a universal love, a love for all human persons. Moreover, though, we can see that in this parable, it's very obvious what goes wrong. It's the Jewish priest and Levite who are expected to help the Jewish man. This means that our family and our relatives, our own people whom God has placed in our lives, these too are our neighbors. And we are called to love them in a very real and tangible, though difficult, way. We should ask ourselves, are we helping our needy nephew? Are we loving our sad sister? Are we truly caring for our aging parents? Have we denied ourselves some luxury or even some legitimate needs in order to give to a needy relative? Have we truly loved our neighbor universally, but also the particular ones that God has placed directly in our lives who are so easy to get fed up with? Do we love them not only monetarily, for we see that certainly the Samaritan traveler does give of his money, but he also gives of his time, his own wine and oil. He puts the man on his own beast, on his own animal, this translation has. Do we love our neighbor just as we desire to be loved, that is, emotionally, intellectually, socially, physically? In other words, do we love our neighbor with all of our heart, with all of our being, with all of our strength, with all of our mind? Do we give until there is nothing left ungiven? Do we give until it hurts, as Mother Teresa would say? Do we love until it hurts with a smile? This is the law of God. This is the law that Christ has given to all of us. And what is absolutely amazing is that it is through respect for God's law that a person discovers the truth about himself and how human life has a purpose, that God's law is life for humanity, that his law was meant to be a source of fulfillment for each human, for each one of us, that unlike all the other laws that we live by, when we are indeed obedient to the moral laws, they safeguard civil and church laws. And we see that these church laws, these precepts that the church gives us, are intended not only to protect our freedom to do what is right and good in the eyes of God, but they are also meant to help us to avoid falling prey to the power of the devil, who is constantly seeking to destroy us. An example of this could be seen in the church's command to confess one's sins sacramentally at least once a year. Or another example could be tithing. If we look to the example of tithing, we see that its practice is meant to be more of a spiritual activity than an economic one. Tithing shows us, and it shows God, that we know that He owns everything. We tithe not because God needs our money, but because we need God. And it is our way of saying, "You come first in my life." And it also shows us, and it stops us from lying and self-rationalizing, it shows us where our treasure is. For we know that where our treasure is, there lies our heart. Or if we were to look at the example of frequent confession, we see that frequent confession reinforces the rule of divine law within our lives. Among its many benefits, some of them that deserve special attention would be that frequent confession reminds us of our constant need for conversion of heart, that we can't ever say to ourselves, "I'm good. I've moved past my broken teenage years. Now I'm good." No, constant conversion. It gives us better self-knowledge and helps us to grow in humility. Certainly it is humbling to go into confession and to confess the same sins that you confessed 6 months ago, or 6 weeks ago, or 6 days ago. It helps us to grow in humility, going back to the sacrament again and again. It also helps to weaken and to uproot those bad habits which so easily creep into our lives. It makes our moral conscience more sensitive, and this in turn helps us prevent us from slipping into laziness or lukewarmness. Finally, frequent confession strengthens our will, and it leads us to that constant effort to perfect the grace of our baptism, which we have received in the soul. Our identification with Christ is strengthened through that sacrament. That grace, sacramental grace, is actually increasing in our lives so that we have a more firm acknowledgement of our own powerlessness and in the supernatural order. And it also helps us to then turn to God, to be aware of His mercy and His grace and His strength and His power that He desires to share with us. Certainly, we can see that it is obedience to God's laws, the laws that are written in our hearts and the laws which the church professes, that lets us be more fully human. Maybe it isn't so easy to see that. Maybe that takes faith. But certainly this is the year of faith. And Pope Benedict and Pope Emeritus Benedict and now Pope Francis is calling us to increase our faith this year. Perhaps you may have heard that Pope Francis has recently released his first encyclical letter, Lumen Fidei, that was jointly authored by both him and his predecessor, the Pope Emeritus. I certainly plan to read it more thoroughly this summer, but one paragraph I want to share with you tonight says, Faith is born of an encounter with God's primordial love, wherein the meaning and goodness of our life becomes evident. Our life is illumined to the extent that it enters into the space opened by that love, to the extent that it becomes, in other words, a path and praxis leading to the fullness of love. Our faith allows us to be open to the reality that God loves us, and He desires to change our actions to be more loving actions. A love that is not only going to be a love for Him, who is God, but a love that is going to be for that is going to change our entire persons. So we will fall more in love with ourselves in an authentic and humble way. We will fall more in love with God's creation. And most importantly, perhaps in so many of our lives, our increase in faith, our obedience to God's laws is going to allow us to love our neighbors more authentically. We can recall from John's gospel that Jesus tells his disciples, "The mark by which all will know you as my disciples will be the love that you bear for one another." My brothers and sisters, in tonight's gospel, our Lord asks, which man was neighbor to the victim? And the scholar responds, the one who treated him with mercy. Our Lord commands, go and do likewise. We must ask ourselves, do others know that we are Christians because of the supernatural love that flows out of our hearts, because of the joy that resides in our very persons? Do they know that we are different by the way we treat others, by the way we live our life? If we are going to be obedient to the law of God, obedient to the life that Christ wants to give to us, we must let Him transform our hearts, our lives, our minds, our strength by His grace, so that others may see in us what God sees in us, so that others might see in us Jesus Christ.